The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery for the launch of Gau Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like. Send a message. If he likes it, Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott, who's out here keeping us on air, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Try to get caught up on a couple of texts here from Bama Papa Joe. He goes, I have an interesting question. Every time Jonathan Joseph gets beat, he hobbles off the field. When he makes the play, he high fives. How does he stay on the field after all those injuries? Yeah, it is pretty funny. I mean, he just can't. He's just not good anymore, and, you know, it's not much you can say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he unfortunately –
the problem is he's better. There's no great alternative.
You don't have any options right now. Once Roby's healthy, I like the idea of Conley, Roby, and Johnson, when they're all healthy, being your guys out there. I think that's certainly an upgrade, but I don't know
eventually,
if that's going to happen.
Yeah, eventually what they're going to need – well, they need to decide if they think Roby is a number one corner. And if not,
he's been their best guy. He's been the guy that until he got
well,
hurt.
I'm thinking more going into next year.
Oh, I'm worried
so
about this
year.
This year, man. I don't care about next year.
But next year, Jonathan Joseph won't be on this football team.
No.
So I'm thinking going forward, they have to decide if they believe Roby's a number one corner, if they want to treat him like one, or if they want to go out and get one. But obviously, I think the secondary is this offseason will be priority number one.
Yeah, I mean,
it has to be.
They're going to have to put the same kind of effort. Well, they're not going to be able to put the same kind of effort into it because they don't have any draft picks. But
right.
They've got to put
they're
that to kind put, of emphasis on
yeah.
as what they did to the offensive line.
And they're going to have to go chase after whatever free agents they can.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that worked out with Joseph. But,
yep.
You know, it can also be a bust. But I think the jury's still out on Roby. He hadn't been healthy enough. But when he's been out there, he's been pretty good for him. And so you said you can't keep a team guy on the team just because of his name about Vinatieri. Can't you say the same thing about J.J. Watt? How much longer can the Texans put up with his injuries?
You know what? I'm with you on that, but at least when J.J. Watt's on the field, he's a havoc creator. He's still a player when he's on the field. Adam Vinatieri, when he's on the field, he's just not good. So it's one thing to be dealing with a guy who's having trouble being healthy, staying on the field. And we talked about this last week. I think the Texans would have to consider making that change at some point. But I also think that by letting Jadeveon Clowney go, they kind of made that decision, you know, without making it.
And it's kind of moot because he's not here for the rest of the season. It's a question that you have. I think you deal with in the offseason.
But also kickers are imminently more replaceable than guys like J.J. Watt. If you're a guy who misses two or three kicks almost around the league, you just get fired. That's just the way it is. And it happens to every great kicker. Eventually, they have a few games where they miss field. Hell, it happens to the Bears every single week. They have a guy who misses a few field goals. He gets fired. That's the NFL. You cannot go around missing field goals, especially extra points, which Vinatieri is now an extra point misser. I guess in Houston, I shouldn't really be going crazy about that, but I've already said I'm surprised Fairbairn hasn't been fired.
Yeah, and they just keep sticking with him, but he got one blocked the other day, as a matter of fact. Somebody says, everyone is so high after this win. It's the damn Jaguars. Hey,
I mean, if they had lost that game, what do the standings look like?
Yeah, and you know, the Jaguars, listen, I don't think the Jaguars are great, but they're not terrible. They had every advantage having played there multiple times when the Texans hadn't. They came in having won two in a row. And Texans did what they're supposed to against a team like that. They housed them.
Oddly enough, I don't think any team in the AFC South is as good as their record says they are. So 1-4. I think all of them, like when you look at their record, and it's like, okay, that's their record, but do I think they're that good? No, not one of them. But I do think it was an important win for the Texans because, like you said, three big games coming up. this is
bye week chance to get healthy.
Yeah, and this is not the kind of team you want to lose to. I mean, especially when you know
everything
a backup
looks,
quarterback.
Yeah, everything
is,
looks a lot different if you go 5-4 into the break with the Ravens and Colts and Patriots looming.
Yeah,
Sean and Katie.
And now, I mean, you're the only team still rocking with your starting quarterback. Because
yeah, I don't think Brisket's that bad though.
Yeah. Well, what about Brian Hoyer? What do you think about him? Who finished the game?
I don't think his injury's that bad as well.
Oh,
saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he'll be okay.
I hope he is. I mean, well, for the Colts' sake, I hope he is because Brian Hoyer. That's not a long term project.
Sean and Katie said his group made it to the cockpit on Saturday. Great place, and the other patrons were awesome. Old pub. I'm sorry, I was there Saturday. I probably just missed you. So
you're in the sandwich room.
There was no sandwich room there, and I was not in the cockfighting room either. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 is your number. What would Rivers and his two dozen kids do if they moved that team up to London?
He'd probably retire
from St. Patrick.
He'd probably retire, and I wouldn't blame him. But because. Listen, whoever does that, whichever team decides to do that, it's going to be weird for them because their scheduling is going to be quirky. They're probably going to take three long road trips a year, you know, because it's not like they're going to do away, home, away. That's just not going to happen.
No, you probably the smart thing to do is probably split it up into four-game segments where you go play four games on the road and you just stay over here.
See, I was thinking three, then three back. And then, two at the end, because a 3-3-2 seems easier than a 4-4, just because now you're talking about being away for a full month. That's, I mean,
yeah, but
that becomes a massive.
It also means you're not going back and forth across, with flights every time either. You could easily, especially let's say it is a Jaguars. You put them in the East, then you have, you make sure that it's four road games that are in the same kind of quadrant. It's in the same area, so you can just stay over here and practice at facilities that are around there. I think there's a lot of ways you could do it.
But it would definitely not be, five or six road trips a season. That's not how it would work.
No, and nor should it.
No.
But I do think it's a real...
And you talk about having a massive home field advantage.
Dude, 84,000 people in there for that game.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were into it, man.
And it wasn't like when the Texans say, today's sellout, and you look around the stadium and it's like, oh... Wow! All right, it's about 60% full. This place was jam packed.
Yeah, it was. Man, and getting out of there. Although I'll give them credit,
they stayed till the end.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it was a horrible game.
Yeah, and but you know what? They have that. They have it down to a science there with the trains getting out of there. Because when we were leaving, it's like, oh my god, this is going to take half an hour. But basically, they stop you for like 2 minutes to get one group in there that gets to all the trains. They stop you again for a couple minutes, and there's so 80,000 people going down this one little area, and it only took us about 10 minutes to get out of there, which surprised the hell out of me to get on the trains. 936 asks, how does playing in London affect the players' taxes on a game check? That's a good one because they do have to pay taxes both there and here. And so if you're the Texans and you're playing there, your game check, part of the taxes go to Great Britain. And that's not really any different than going to California.
Nope.
So, in fact, and I mean, this has been going on for years where if you play in another state that has a state income tax, they tax your game check there. And that's been called the athlete tax. It's been there forever. The states have just figured out, hey, we can get some money out of this when another team comes to town. I don't think it's fair because you're not based there, but you are playing your game there, so... You know, I guess they can they can do whatever the hell they want because they're the government.
Right.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Scott says, you're at the Grove. My boy Ryan is the executive chef there. He's
nice.
On location. Said you should grab him and tell him something nice about TCU. Oh. What can we say nice about TCU?
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like, it was really hard. I mean, I didn't get to watch any college football Saturday.
It was tough to keep up.
Yeah.
And I tracked my bets a little bit. And, like, when we were on the train in Brussels, I was watching some on my phone. But, football in general is difficult to keep up with there because even the like the early kick games on Sunday are starting at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and if you want to stay up and watch the Sunday night football game,
it's middle of the night.
You're staying up until 4 a.m. to watch the game. Man. Yeah, it's just it's not reasonable.
Yeah, it was so funny.
And I missed the UFC fights because of that.
Yeah.
I've got them recorded at the house, but you know, I'm used to watching those things night of or by at worst the next morning, and I still haven't seen those fights. Because I wasn't going to stay up till 4 in the morning.
You could have talked to the bus driver about it this morning.
Oh, I wasn't trying to talk to the bus driver, unlike some people.
Not me. Let's make that clear.
No, not Fred.
But
pro tip, if you're traveling in a group and you had a 5 a.m. meetup, it's still dark, everyone's tired, don't talk the whole way. Just shut up and ride the bus quietly. That's the way to go.
Oh man, yeah, it was. It's been a long day because we met at what 5 a.m. this morning. And see, I never got the memo that it wasn't 4.
Yeah, so 5 a.m. In London which means we met up at 11 o'clock last night here, and started our travel day.
And it's about a 10-hour flight. And then apparently our plane landed at the same time every international plane lands at Bush, because it was just the customs was packed and it was just nuts. But hey, we got here, so I'm still curious to see how my sleep pattern goes, because I have a feeling I'm just not going to sleep tonight.
I'm just going to stay up as late as I can tonight and just crash out. I wish there was like a there is. It's college basketball season opener.
I'll
just stay up late watching. Watching West Coast Hoops.
I'm sure there's a Pepperdine game on somewhere. So the one thing I did like about the time difference is we went to the game, and then we went and had a nice dinner and actually had sushi, which I'm not a big sushi guy, but it was great. Got home, had a couple drinks, and then went into the room and like, wow, it's still early enough. I can write something for Sports Map. And I vowed I wasn't going to work, and then I said, you know what? I got to write this.
Were you not loaded?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, 4.4% beer.
Well, I figured you would have been drinking some gin or something.
No. Although, that's something
everybody
else.
Drinks gin there.
Gin is like the thing. And
yeah.
Gin and tonic. And they have, like we have flavored vodka. They have flavored gins.
Yeah.
And they had one that I couldn't even believe anyone would want to make that flavor. It was just like radish or something.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah. But that's their thing.
I'm a big turnip gin man.
But no, I just got home and I said, man, I want to write about the game. And tomorrow I'll have a just kind of a travel piece. If you decide to go to London for one of these games, here's some things to do.
All right.
So I think you did a lot of them, like the Tower of London. And
yeah, we did that tower. We did St. Paul Cathedral, which is amazing.
Yeah, we actually were staying right there, like a block
away.
Yeah,
our hotel was right by it. But that place is unbelievable. And then that London Eye, which maybe a little overrated.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't.
You don't need to do it. It's a cool view.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Is it worth £30, which is like $40 per person to go up on a Ferris wheel? Not really.
And then we did Buckingham Palace. We did the Parliament Square, which was really cool. And I got a bunch of cool photos, so the only way they're going to show up is if I write a story about it.
There
so
you
I'm
going
to write something for Sports Map. Maybe we'll run it on Culture Map. Tell you what, though, I got out with only one razor, so I can't wait to get home and shave, because looking a little ragged here, and that's what happens when I don't have my Harry's with me. And Harry's is the best, man. Humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, whether it's shark teeth, whether it's Bowie knives. What you need is a nice blade, and that's what Harry's does. They focus on the qualities that actually matter for a close, comfortable shave. They never upcharge you. And right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use code FAOUR at harrys.com. And listen, they've got great prices. It's $2 for replacement blades. It's affordable. Obviously affordable. It's convenient. It comes right to your right into your mailbox, and the quality's fantastic. So here's what you do. An amazing offer just for the Blitzers. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code FAOUR at harrys.com. Means you get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use code FAOUR at checkout to claim your offer.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys. I am stoked because while I was gone, Pro Dunk Hoops went out and installed the new hoop at my place, and my kids were on the FaceTime. Oh, we love it. We're having so much fun. And you could get like a raggedy old hoop put up, but you don't want to be that guy. Now the downside is a bunch of kids coming to my house from the neighborhood wanting to play on the hoop at our house. If you've got kids and you don't have a Pro Dunk Hoops basketball goal, you're missing out. Pro Dunk Hoops, they've got four goal designs to choose from, including their newest model, the Bear. It's a heavy-duty, fully portable goal, perfect if you've got a picky HOA. They can attach it to your house. They can put it up in your driveway, in your backyard. However you want it set up, they've got you covered. Get your goal with professional installation. That's a great thing. They come out in two trips. They lay the concrete in one, and then they come out and put up the goal in another. And it is just unbelievable quality. And then there's going to be nothing missing from your driveway. It's exactly where your kids will be. Pro Dunk Hoops, ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery Green for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A couple things from the text line. Somebody says, you got to get that global entry. Guess what? I have global entry, re-entry. It doesn't
really make much of a difference.
Nope, it doesn't. It didn't help today. There was no line for it. And it's only worked for me going back and forth from Canada. But this was the first time that I've been anywhere else, and there was no global re-entry line. And somebody says, your tax analyst isn't 100% correct. And he goes into a bunch of stuff about international taxation would be different than state income taxes. Says, while you're correct that some players would be taxed on the income, the visiting team likely wouldn't be as they haven't established, quote, a substantial presence. Long story short, taxation there would be difficult. Just ask NHL players. Well, first off, there's not many NHL games in England, which is what we were specifically talking about. And I do know that golfers are taxed pretty heavily there. Phil Mickelson in particular, when he won the Irish Open or whatever it was a few years ago, he got taxed there, he got taxed by the U.S., and he got taxed by California. So I don't pretend to be a tax expert, but...
But you're married to one.
Kind of. So, 713-780-ESPN if you want to tax the show now. Great. Wonderful.
Yes.
And Lamont was asking, how was the London weed? It's not legal there, so I didn't even try it. And I didn't even bring my CBD, which I wasn't sure what the legalities were. I didn't want to get in trouble on the plane, which I needed from...
Yeah, I brought that because I knew I was going to be hurting from the plane, but... well, I also brought some sleep aid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, the only negative is that I kind of feel like I was pretty far removed from most of the sports this weekend other than the game itself.
Yeah, it's tough to be involved, like in American sports when you're over there.
Yeah. It's much different, obviously. Even the ESPN thing that I'd call up on my computer, it was all soccer, cricket, and then it would get to NFL.
Because it's weird to do it, like when we're in Vegas and the NFL games kick off at 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever. It's in college football kicks off at 9 a.m. So
yeah.
It's like, oh boy,
it takes
an adjustment period.
But you're up anyway, so
yeah.
that's different. But
this is
up,
like it's like happening literally in the middle of the night. It's very difficult to follow.
Yeah, it would be hard to keep up with teams on a regular basis, especially the sports that we care about here.
Yeah,
if you were over there, but
if I moved to London, I would just have to stop caring about sports
or sleep,
which I mean would be fine with me. I could give up sports, but I would have to find a new job.
Yeah, I could give up sports or sleep.
Yeah.
So that's best food in London, fish and chips. I hate fish and chips, I have to tell you. And
I ate fish and chips once there. Let me tell you something about the chips in London. They ain't that good. Like, there's hardly any flavor to them. They're just cut up potatoes, fried in oil. That's it. They don't salt them. They don't pepper them. Like, they're just they're fried potatoes. They taste like nothing. They taste like whatever you put on them. So, overrated dish. I had it there because I was like, oh, I might as well try it once. But for the most part, I just ate, like, burgers and pizzas. I had, like, a probably the most traditional thing that I had, like, a lamb shank with mashed potatoes. And then I had a lamb burger with the black pudding on it, which is, like, something made of blood, basically. And they had Carolina Reaper jam on that burger. I had some regrets about that, but it was pretty good. And then we had one of the best things I had there was that we had a pizza, like a
we had a fantastic pizza there.
So it was there's some good food there. You just gotta don't get suckered into eating only the traditional British fare, because if you do that, then it's probably gonna be crap.
I did have some what we would call pot pies, but they call them meat pies, and those are really good. I enjoyed those. Somebody asked, "Did you put vinegar on it?" No, I hate.
Hell no.
God, I hate vinegar.
That's the worst.
And they have, it's like Canada. They have vinegar everywhere. Like, they have little bottles of vinegar that you could pour on whatever, and it's like that. That's how you take decent food and make it crappy. But I mean, on the whole, though, I was really pleasantly surprised by their food game. It was much better than I was expecting, and really enjoyed it. So, I kind of was hoping I'd lose about 20 pounds while I was there because the food was so bad. But I didn't drink as much as I would have because the beer was not it just wasn't up to snuff. Although I do owe Guinness an apology.
It's better on draft.
Oh my God, it's so much better over there. It's not even the same beer that we get here.
Yeah,
because everybody always, "Oh, it's so great, it's so great, try it." And then I drink it and it's like, it's okay. It doesn't suck, but it's not great. But then I got over there and I got one on draft, and it's like, okay, now I see what everybody's talking about. So, I'm sure that our beer over there may not be as good either, but I didn't really drink any of our beer, so I don't know. But on the whole, man, if you can afford to do it once, I highly recommend it. You know, if you're a fan of one of the teams that goes over there, it's such a cool experience. What really struck me was – you know, and you see this, you just don't even see this in New York. It's just the history. I mean,
it's an old-ass town.
Stuff that was built in the 1700s is still there. And then we did the Jack the Ripper tour last night. That was cool as hell. You know, I learned a lot about, you know I'm kind of
about
a...
med.
Well, you know, I don't want to say I'm a serial killer fan.
I am.
But I'm a fan of...
I'm a fan of true crime.
Well, yeah, and of course he's like the original and one of the great mysteries of our time, and I just thought it was pretty cool. So,
all right, I got to tell you guys about Triangle Energy, and as we all know, shopping for electricity rates can suck. And Triangle is like, you know what? Maybe we can make it better for people, and they did. They're a born and raised in Texas company. They provide simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. They're not using hidden fees. There's no gimmicks or surprises on your bills. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you'll already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. And you can lock your rate in for 12, 24, or 36 months, so you don't have to worry about rate hikes or anything like that. You're locked in. They keep it simple at Triangle. The rates you see, that's the rate you pay. Period. No minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity, and they're offering a discount to our listeners. Use the promo code ESPN when you sign up, and you'll save even more on their great rates. What are you waiting for, guys? 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
You talking that shit? You is a child. Where is your dad?
No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh. No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh, we're no regular. Ooh.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Behold the king. The king of kings. Your knees, dog.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live from the Grove downtown. Can look out the balcony here and see Toyota Center. right across the street there.
There you go. And you look behind us, and you can see a tree.
That's a place called Discovery Green. I don't know if you're familiar.
Behind
with
the trees?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But once you get past the trees over there,
okay.
Which the trees are green, so technically
it's part of it.
It's probably
part of the name.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Speaking of which, Jerome Solomon's here. He's always a big name. What's going on, Jerome?
Indeed. How's it going, gentlemen? Welcome back to the good old UFS.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Yeah, we're a little we're running on fumes around here, man.
Sad, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your feeling? And it's, I haven't even gotten to watch a TV broadcast, much less game film of the Texans. But what were some of your takeaways from that performance?
It went about as well as it could go for what this Texans team looks like they're kind of building into. I mean, we talked about them being up and down and up and down. Well, obviously this is an up, but this should be a repeatable up. You know what I mean? It wasn't an over-the-top, ridiculous, you know, Deshaun Watson just takes over a game kind of performance. He did what he does. You know, he made a couple of incredible plays, but it's still more a matter of they ran the ball really well. And they didn't have Laremy Tunsil out there, which we were giving a lot of credit for how the offensive line could play, and they still look fairly solid. And for some, I mean, obviously, Gardner Minshew is much more of a Gardner than a big-time NFL quarterback, but their defense was really good and solid, and just, you know, they weren't on their heels like they have been so often during the season. That I don't know if they can repeat against the really good quarterbacks that they'll play, but they're not as many good quarterbacks that they'll play as people were trying to say before the season. And this is a team should be able to win some games. If they play this way, they'll definitely win some games.
You know, when you say a lot of it's repeatable, do you think the way they ran the ball is something that's repeatable?
Well, not to that extent, I'm sure. I mean, yeah, they'd love for Hyde to break off a 60-yard run every now and then. 62, actually, would be better than the 60 he got on that one long play. But it's more a matter of they need to run the ball, because when they run it and they're successful at it, teams are going to struggle in trying to figure out how to handle it, because you can't you absolutely cannot line up as a defense and key on Carlos Hyde. You just can't, because Watson will tuck it in and kill you on some option, you know, runs, and when he decides to run it. And eventually, I'm assuming anyway, that DeAndre Hopkins is going to bust loose. He really hasn't. Not all season, really. And part of that, I think, is that Will Fuller hasn't given you what we would have expected him to do if healthy, and of course he hasn't been healthy. And Kiki Kiki hasn't done what we expected him to do if healthy, and he's kind of sort of not been healthy, but even when healthy, he hasn't done it yet. And so I think they can run the ball. They're not going to run it to that extent, but they need the threat to be there, because you have to take advantage of being able to run it if teams are, you know, sending extra people and shading their covers toward wherever DeAndre Hopkins is.
How good do you think the Texans are at this point? Because I look at the AFC standings, and we were talking about, and the AFC South in particular, but really all the AFC, I look at all these teams at the top of the standings, and I see their records, and I'm like, okay, they're good, but they're not as good as their record would paint them to be. Like, the Patriots aren't as good as your typical 8-1 team.
Right.
The Ravens, or the Bills certainly aren't as good as your typical 6-2 team. You know, what are the Chiefs even? At 6-3, you got a lot of questions about them right now. When you look at the Texans at 6-3, do you feel like that's an accurate representation of what they are?
I think it is this year with this NFL. But it's kind of what I thought before the season, so it's played out. I'd expect the Patriots to be just now getting a loss. But I just don't think any of these teams are great. The Patriots might be better than everybody. The Chiefs can beat anybody. And if you think about it, the Chiefs are 6-3, and Mahomes hasn't been Mahomes, especially he's been hurt the last few weeks. So they have room for improvement. Their defense is still going to be their defense. But no, I thought the AFC was kind of wide open, and it's proved out to be that. We earlier in the season, remember, it was like, man, this win at San Diego. And I was like, I don't think San Diego's all that good. No, you said San Diego. The Chargers, I don't think they're all that good. And they're kind of not. But they can beat people. And it's a weird season. there's a lot of football left. So obviously over the next month we'll narrow it down over who really is as good as they can be. But I'd be surprised if the Texans didn't win their last four, maybe even five games, closing out the season. And that's going to make a huge difference, you know, in terms of how they stack up. But boy, these next three games, Ravens, Colts, Patriots, they mess around and win. Depending on which one of these they win, it gets them a huge advantage come tiebreaker time. And the playoffs might simply come down to where are you playing these teams, because I don't think any of these teams are so much better than the others.
One thing I've really found to be a great addition to the Texans' offense is that little play where he can either hand off to the running back, and then if he doesn't, it's a triple option where he rolls out, and then he can keep the ball or he can flip it to the tight end. That seems like a really hard play for teams to defense, especially on short yardage and in the red zone. At some point, teams are going to catch up, but that's been a pretty interesting addition to their offense. Do you think it's going to keep working?
Yeah, I'll give them some more credit than that even. They slipped a spin and an inside handoff to DeAndre Hopkins into that rascal in London. And I was like, well, I've never seen that play from them. But that tells me they're really confident that their line can hold up and run block well, and they're adding on. And that's one of those things where this is going to sound like I'm taking a shot at Bill O'Brien because of him. Like, you have your offense, but you start your offense wherever you started and you build on it as the season goes on. Quite often, he hasn't built on his offense until the team was desperate or things didn't go well enough for him, so he had to go back to the drawing board or something. You know, and sometimes that's just a phrase, but they really mean it. They're like, we got to go back to the drawing board. They don't go adding new stuff. They go back to find the stuff that works and close the playbook some. Well, they play well enough for him to start turning the page and getting a little deeper into that playbook, right? So I think the deeper you get into it, the more interesting it'll get. Now, of course, when they run the stagger lead and it doesn't work, we'll be roasted in the court. It's like, why are you turning one page too far into that playbook? But no, I think when you have Deshaun Watson, if you're not creative with your offense, you're not taking advantage of what he can do.
I hate to break it to you. I think you and I are the only people that remember Stagger Lee.
That's just too old a reference, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, Jerome, if I told you at the beginning of the season that Darren Fells would be on pace for 10 to 12 touchdowns, how hard would you have laughed?
I would have rolled, but I thought he would be a factor. And now, if you told me that...
I knew he'd be a factor. I just didn't think he'd be much in the pass-catching game. I thought he'd be sixth offensive lineman.
I thought they brought him in the block, too. And I heard a story for a season about him because I thought he'd be very interesting. Now, once we found out that one of the young guys got hurt and was not going to play up to this point, that made a big difference. And we always say it. But young quarterbacks rely on their tight ends more than anything. And Texans kind of got back to it. They get down the red zone, they're not throwing to DeAndre Hopkins. Well, we used to credit them for doing that when they wouldn't throw it to Andre Johnson in the red zone. But now they're throwing it to the big guy in the red zone. If you're not doing that, you're not taking advantage of what the guy can do. So, I think his career high was three or four or something coming into this. So
yeah, he's four touchdowns away from doubling what he's done in the first six seasons of his career.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. But he's a heck of an athlete, a sharp guy, and obviously, they get down there a lot. And Deshaun Watson, give him full credit on this as a quarterback. From the moment he stepped onto the field, he really has. He's not Tom Brady. Let's not be ridiculous. I know that, but he really does look for the open guy. You know, there's some reliance on DeAndre Hopkins, but he's really this season got away from just throwing to DeAndre over and over and over. I think they need to throw to DeAndre a little bit more in some circumstances, but he's really a quarterback who's willing to give it to you if he believes in you. He certainly believes in Darren Fells.
That's Jerome Solomon, writer for the Chronicle, does his show on Sunday nights. He also does the show here on the station and on Sunday mornings. And, Jerome, how's the show going, the TV show and the radio show?
Show is going great, doing very well. People are enjoying it. I'm glad that people are paying attention and watching us. So we're having fun. But watch it. Check us out on Sunday mornings. It's going to be fun. We're gonna do it a little differently. This week we're going to introduce Rachel Dunner-Ranha. So we'll have the only show with two women on the air on a Sunday morning. It should get your Sunday football kicked off just right. And we'll have a lot of fun as every show on 97.5 is. I mean, you know, they're not all nuts and bolts. It's a lot of nuts. So we're going to have a good time and make it as fun as possible. And people that we've gotten feedback from really like what we're doing. So it's just going to keep getting better. Looking forward to making it better.
All right. Well, keep kicking ass, my friend. That's Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. Joins us every week or most weeks when he can. Appreciate the time as always, and hopefully we'll catch you again next week, man.
I'm so happy you guys got through customs and didn't get arrested. No international incident that we know of.
No.
I haven't heard from the State Department yet, but, you know.
Nope, we're good.
Yeah, didn't have to go to, you know. I did go by the Canadian consulate at one point because I was afraid I might have to seek asylum, but you know, it didn't happen, so we're fine.
Excellent, guys. All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, man. Sure, I'm Solomon. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Grove at Discovery Green for the launch of Gal Media's newest website, Automotive Map. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Boy, it's turned into a really nice night out here.
Yeah, beautiful.
The patio. So, and that party will be kicking off here in a few minutes. Glenn Davis will be here doing Soccer Matters at 7. I'm going to stick around and do a segment with him on some soccer discussions that I had with people while I was over in England.
Cool.
And, you know, hang around for a little bit of the party and then go home and start working again.
I'm not totally dressed for this party, so I'm
I'm
going to try to sneak out of here before my bosses
either.
See me.
I had kind of hoped that we'd get through customs pretty quickly and I'd have time to go by my place before the show and actually put on some decent clothes.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way.
No, that was a fail. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, I admit I'm not a fan of Kevin Harlan, especially on radio.
All right.
He spends too much time doing weird stuff about between the numbers and outside the hash marks. And just tell me where the damn ball is and what's going on. But apparently he was pretty funny when the cat got on the field last night. So let's hear it.
A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped play, and the players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday
night
right. Football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five. He's
Who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive. Kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
Poor cat.
Yeah. I still don't know how that happens, how you get
I don't either.
Cats into a – unless somebody who works there is being sneaky.
It could be.
But that gave some entertainment in what was not very entertaining in the fourth quarter, so there's that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Fred's Dark Side says, all these Americans coming back to America and clogging up all our customs lanes. Where does it all end?
Seriously.
There was a I don't know how many flights landed about the same time, but there were a bunch of people coming back in today. I know there was one from France too, and then. But
I didn't talk to anybody, but I did see a guy who, for whatever reason, was wearing a belt, but just didn't know how to work it. So his pants were, almost all the way down, and he just didn't seem to care to pull them up. And he's just walking through the line, taking selfies of himself in the line.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody I did that.
It wasn't you for once.
It is funny though. It's the first time I've ever done this, so it is such a physical adjustment in terms of when you're awake and when you're asleep.
Oh yeah.
And like
there was a night where I slept maybe 2 or 3 hours there. And I woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I was like, oh, no. And, of course, it was the night that I had a 3:45 a.m. alarm set to go to the airport and fly to Brussels.
Yeah.
Which was, like, a super long day with lots of walking and drinking.
Yeah.
And then we got back late, and that night I slept, and I didn't want to ever – I could have just been dead and never woken up again, and I would have been all right.
Yeah, I slept pretty well there, but – because, like, the first day when we got there – And you know, Val's done this a lot. So it's like, no, we need to try to stay up until 10 o'clock, and then your body will adjust.
Yeah.
And so we did, and then I was fine. But then the night before I have to travel, I never can sleep. I couldn't sleep last night. I'm up like five times because I'm always worried that the alarm's not going to go off or something. And of course, then I'm down there an hour earlier than I'm supposed to be, and then I couldn't sleep on the plane. I upgraded to the nicer seats, and I they were much more comfortable, but I just couldn't sleep. I don't know why. So I just watched a lot of watched movies. And
what did you think of that Tarantino movie?
I thought it was it's been really polarizing in terms of what people think about it. I kind of fell right in the middle. It's like I thought it was good, but it wasn't his best work.
It's certainly entertaining.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was good. I was it like peak Tarantino? No. But it was pretty solid. I don't think it was a bad movie, which is what some people tried to make it out to be.
No, it wasn't bad at all. And I think a lot of people who told me, hey, if you like Jackie Brown, you'll like it, I think that was fair.
Well, and I also think a lot of people thought it was like following the real story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's never done that.
And it didn't.
Inglourious Bastards, that's not how World War II went, by the way. Just so you know. In case you're curious, you want to go check the history books on that. But I thought it was pretty good. And I after watching Game of Thrones again, it wasn't as awful as I remember everybody thinking it was.
Well, you never thought it was awful.
I never thought it was awful, but I actually thought there were some pretty good poignant scenes that maybe got overlooked because of all the criticism.
Yeah.
I still think, there's some things that they should have done better. But in the end,
That's all I'm saying. I feel like they rushed. It felt rushed, and it shouldn't have been rushed because it took them forever to do it.
Yeah.
And they didn't have as much to do.
I think the one I had the real problem with was the fifth one where, out of nowhere, they're killing a dragon. And
yeah, the dragons that you couldn't kill forever, now they just die pretty easy.
And then in the next one, of course, the dragon's the weapon of mass destruction. But I mean that actually the last two were actually pretty good. The one where the dragon gets whacked, I'm kind of like, really? And because there's so many ways. Well, for one thing, I mean they always seem to get surprised by these guys showing up out of nowhere.
Right.
And then once that happened, she realized, oh, we just have to dive bomb from straight up in the sun where he can't see us. Duh.
And there's still, like, time-lapse things. It's like, how'd they get there?
Yeah, it's
You know, and here's the other thing, though. After spending so much time in London, I have to say this. And doing the Tower of London, all the history of all the stuff that was going on throughout history with all the monarchs and everything, Game of Thrones is really just London history with a dragon and a little guy slapped into it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, oh, we're going to slap a dragon on it. We're going to slap Peter Dinklage in there. But those guys did worse stuff than what they did in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know the story about where the king was about to die, and he decides he's going to, instead of it going to, I can't remember her name, one of the bad Marys, instead of going to her, he was going to give it to this 15-year-old girl, Jean Grey, and then...
Jean Grey, who became the Dark Phoenix eventually.
This poor girl didn't really do anything wrong, except the guy said, hey, I'm skipping over, and so the woman who skipped over just decided to kill her.
Makes sense.
And all she did was say, oh, okay, I'm doing this. So it was pretty cool, and I learned quite a bit from those tours. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Somebody says, England has better beer than USA. Sir, you know what?
Incorrect.
If you like drinking,
unfactual.
You know what? If you like drinking urine, you're right. I'm telling you, you're so much better in so many other ways. But beer,
yeah, it's not even close.
Women and food, we have you beat. Everything else, you win. It's not.
I'm still on team weather.
Well, I don't know, but you guys have a lot of 10-8 rounds when it comes to stuff against like architecture. That's a 10-8 round.
Oh yeah,
that's not even close. But if you actually think,
but everybody there talks funny, so that even.
No, I actually like their accents better.
Oh, not me.
Oh, they sound so much better than we do.
No, I don't like it. And sometimes, like, you can't even understand them. Like, if everybody did, like, the cute, like, I drank my coffee super fast. They had, like, cold brew coffee on the plane to Belgium. And the girl was like, I drank it like an energy shot. And it was a full-size can of coffee. But she was like, how did you do that? It's like a magic trick. And, like, if everybody talked in that cute English accent, it'd be one thing. But then, like, a lot of dudes. And you can't understand what the hell they're saying.
Well, but see, again, it depends.
They all sound like fancy Ed Orgeron.
Well, it depends on what part of England you're in.
Yeah.
Because, the area we were in, they all were very, very, their accents were awesome. And I'll say this, guys much better looking there than they are here. They have much better looking dudes. So if I were a hot chick here, I would go there. Because if you're a 5 here, you're probably a 9 there.
Did you find that at the cockpit?
No, I did not. I did not. So... all right, let's go to our man, Lawyer Dave. What's up, Lawyer Dave?
Hey, that was a good one. And welcome back, boys. Hey, Blitzers, it's Lawyer Dave. If you've been in an accident, you've been hurt, you need help, give me a holler, 713-626-8900.
And let's say I've been in an accident, because if you live in the city, you're going to be, and I get hurt and I don't know what to do, I can't afford to go to the doctor. What do I do?
Give me a holler, and I will set you up with a doctor so you don't have to pay any money up front. So you get the medical care you need, even though you don't have the money to pay for it. We'll get you handled.
And what if I'm over in Beaumont or the Golden Triangle area? Can I still call you?
Absolutely. We had a blitzer call me today who was hurt at the port, and we're going to hook him up and get him treated with the treatment he needs, and take care of him. We like being over in that part of the world a lot.
You don't charge a dime for consultations, and you don't get paid unless the Blitzers win, right?
That's exactly right. We win together, and nobody pays me a penny for any consultation. They come in, they got any kind of a legal question, doesn't matter if it's something I do regarding accidents. They ask me a question. If I don't know the answer, I'll find out the answer. If they need another lawyer, I'll send them to somebody else. But remember this, Blitzers. The insurance company have loads of lawyers. Don't go into a gunfight with a knife, because you'll get screwed every darn time.
All right, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Hit me up, 713-626-8900, or LawyerDave.com, LawyerDaveLaw, my Twitter handle, or hit me up to Fred, who I'm going to hang out with later this week.
All right, you need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
Better. Maybe you should. Yeah, you should.
Drop everything, your plans, your man.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere. even down under.